Word of God that we read this morning is Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. We'll begin reading at verse 17. The Word of God at Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I shun not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Thus far we read the Word of God. The verse that we look at this morning is verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul loved the saints in the church of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul truly had a pastor's heart for the saints in that church. He had a pastor's heart for them, not simply because they were fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had a pastor's heart for those saints in the church of Ephesus because the apostle did much work in the city of Ephesus. When we read Acts chapter 20, we are reading the events that transpired on Paul's third missionary journey. And while Paul did much work and went many places on that third missionary journey, his work during that journey centered in the city of Ephesus. On that third missionary journey, Paul labored for at least 3 years in the city of Ephesus. And any time a pastor labors for an extended period of time, like 3 years in a particular congregation, a strong bond forms. Paul loved, and Paul was very much concerned about the spiritual welfare of the saints in the church in Ephesus. At the end of that missionary journey, Paul was determined to go back to Jerusalem. And much of that journey back to Jerusalem was by ship. And on his way back to Jerusalem, Paul stopped in the city of Miletus. And that's where we picked up the reading in Acts chapter 20. The city of Miletus was approximately 30 miles to the south of the city of Ephesus in Asia Minor. They stopped in Miletus. They docked there for some time before they continued their trip to Jerusalem. But while in Miletus and concerned for the saints in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul summoned the elders in the church in Ephesus to come down and meet him in Miletus before he continues his trip to Jerusalem. And that's what we read this morning. We read these last words of the Apostle Paul to the elders of the church in Ephesus in the city of Miletus. Paul knew that he would probably never see those saints that he loved so much and was concerned for so much. And so he had a last word for the elders of that church. He knew that he could not labor there anymore. But in order to make sure that the saints in that church would be cared for, he had a word, a parting word to the elders of the church. Because he knew that the elders of that church would feed and shepherd and care for the saints in Ephesus. And so Paul's parting words to the elders in the church of Ephesus are the words that every office bearer must hear and understand and believe. So it's a fitting word to hear at the installation of office bearers this morning. The word is found in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The word this morning is especially for the elders of the church. Paul in this text is speaking to the elders. He refers in the text to the overseers. That's a designation that is only used to refer to the elders. And so the word this morning comes in a special way to the two newly elected elders and as well to the continuing elders here in our church. But there's a word this morning for the deacons as well. Yes, it's true you would never use the word overseer to refer to a deacon, but nevertheless, much of what Paul says in this text applies just as much to deacons as it does to elders. Deacons must take heed to themselves. Deacons must take heed to the flock. Deacons must feed the church of God, which God hath purchased with His blood. And so remember that this morning, deacons. We'll be referring to elders throughout, but this word says just as much to you as it does to them. But there's a word this morning for the entire congregation. We don't say it's just for the elders, deacons, the office bearers this morning. We can put our earplugs in, zone out. There's nothing for us to hear this morning. Not so. Because we as a congregation must know the work that these office bearers are called to do. We must know what they do. We must know how they must do it. We must know why they do it. They're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must know these things so that we can pray for them, so that we can support them, so that we can submit to them. It's just as important for us as a congregation to hear a word that speaks directly to the office bearers in the church. So with that in mind, let's look this morning at Acts 20, verse 28. And we do so using as our theme, elders called to feed the church of God. We notice in the first place, the purchased church of God. In the second place, the elders calling to shepherd. And in the third place, the work of the Holy Spirit. Elders of Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, you are overseers of the church of God, which God hath purchased with His own blood. In Acts 20, verse 28, we have a marvelous description of the community of believers that we call the church. It is, Paul says in the text, the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. There's many truths set forth in this verse. And in a sermon on this verse, a few different things could take the lead in how you begin a sermon on this text. This morning we begin with that phrase, the church of God purchased with God's own blood. And we do that because when we understand that this is the church in which and for which the office bearers serve, what becomes impressed upon us is the importance and seriousness of the work that they do. The office bearers do not labor in the community. The office bearers do not labor in some other organization. The office bearers work in and for the church of God. The precious church of God, the church of God that was purchased by God's own blood. You see the seriousness of the work when you see that this is where and for whom you work. With respect to that last phrase of the text, there are a couple of main points. The first is this, it's the church of God. That simply first, it's the church of God. That word church in the text is one of the most common words used in the New Testament to refer to the community of believers. It refers to what we see right now, the instituted church of God, the gathering of believers in a particular place at a particular time to hear the preaching of the gospel. That word church is packed with significance. It literally means called out ones. And we don't have time this morning to go into all of the implications and applications of that word itself, church. But just take note of that this morning. It means called out ones. Called out of what, you ask? Called out of this wicked world. Not called out in a physical sense so that we gather together in a monastery separated from the world in which we live. Called out in a spiritual sense so that we are different from the world in which we live. There's all sorts of implications of the fact that we are the church, the called out ones. That's how we must see ourselves. And the fact that we are the called out ones must manifest itself in every sphere of our lives. The church of God, the one called out of God or by God. And we can't hear that truth enough. Beloved, we didn't do anything of ourselves to take ourselves out of the wickedness of sin and this wicked world. It was God who did that. It's the church of God. That first. But then the apostle goes on to say something about that church of God. He says concerning that church, it's the church which He hath purchased with His own blood. Because you see, we're sinners. Every one of us sitting here this morning is a sinner. How is it possible that we can be called out of the wickedness of this world? It's possible because of this. We are the church purchased by the blood of God. We read that phrase and it takes us directly to Calvary. There's no way around it. When it says purchased by the blood of God, it takes us to the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. When you think of the church, when you think of how you are members of that church, go to one place and think of one thing. The place is Calvary, and the thing is blood. Blood, beloved. It took something for God to bring us unto Him. He had to purchase us. Talk a lot about purchasing at this time of the year. Purchasing gifts for Christmas. Purchasing things after Christmas with all the deals that are going on. We try to obtain things. We try to obtain them for the cheapest price possible always. Can't even speak in those terms when we talk about the purchasing of the church of God. It took what was more precious than anything else. It took blood. The very blood of the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand why that is the case. Without that blood, we are not called out of sin and this world. Without that blood, we're still members of the kingdom of darkness. With that blood that covers our sins, with that blood on the basis of which we are declared righteous, we are brought into the church of God. God purchased us. He owns us because of the blood of Jesus. But that's not the striking thing of this text. Elsewhere we read that the purchase price of the church was the blood of Jesus. What's striking in this text is what Paul says concerning whose blood it was. To feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And that's referring to God. Now there's no way around the text. The text is speaking of the work of Christ at Calvary. You can't get around that. But it's striking what Paul says in this text, the blood of God. At the very least, that impresses upon us that the one who died on Calvary's cross was God. Jesus was God. But there's more to it than that. And when Paul in the text says that it was the blood of God, His own blood, that purchased the church, what that does is show to us the strong bond and the unbelievable love that God had for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we can even understand as parents with our children. So strong of love did He have for Him that the blood that was shed on Calvary, He says in this text, was the blood of God. So great a love then for us, the church. And that's what we're impressed with this morning for the office bearers in our church. Follow the logic here. Purchased with God's own blood, showing thereby the strong love that the Father had for the Lord Jesus Christ. But that Lord Jesus Christ, the one that He loved so very much, He poured out His wrath for your sins and mine. Strong love, unbelievable love for us, the church, if God was willing to do that. It's unbelievable in a certain sense. The love that God has for us as the purchased church of Jesus Christ. And when you see that, when you understand that, as office bearers in this church, you are impressed with the way that you must do your work and why you must do your work that way. You work in and for the purchased church of God. That church, the apostle describes as a flock. And now we transition into the work that the office bearers must do. And we begin by seeing that that church which we just described, the church purchased by the blood of God, is referred to in the text as the flock. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, your sheep. The office bearers are the ones who care for the flock. That's a familiar figure to us. We know that figure well from the Scriptures. Psalm 23 speaks of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, is the great shepherd of the sheep. But when we see that this figure of a flock is used to describe the church, it also shows to us the need for office bearers in the church. Sheep are prone to danger. Sheep are susceptible to predators. Something the apostle mentions in the very next verse. I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Thus the need for good office bearers in the church. Sheep are weak. Hard to find a more helpless animal than a sheep. We are weak. We need strength. We need someone to help us, to impart unto us that strength. Thus the need for good office bearers in the church. And sheep are stubborn. You direct a sheep not to wander. You do it again. You do it again. You do it again. And what does the sheep go and do again? Wander from the pasture. And at times we are no different. Thus the need for good office bearers in the church. Paul understood that. And so he gives instruction to the office bearers, the elders in particular. And he begins this way. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. That word, take heed, or rather we begin somewhere else. We see that the goal of what the apostle says in this text is what he says at the end, towards the end, to feed the church of God. We just mentioned the reasons we need good office bearers in the church. The goal is to feed the church. Literally, that means to shepherd the church, to care for the church, the flock. It's more general than just the word feed. That's the purpose. That's what it's all leading to. But he backs up and he says, in order to get to that point, this is what you must do. And it starts with how he begins. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. It starts with yourself as office bearers. Take heed to yourselves. This brings up the importance of the qualifications for office bearers in the church. Those qualifications found in 1 and 2 Timothy. The church has deemed you worthy and as having those qualifications. You have, in the past, taken heed so that now you are qualified to be office bearers in the church. But it doesn't end there. Really, it just begins there. You must continue to take heed to yourself. And not simply for the sake of doing that, but for what the text says next. You can't take heed to the flock unless you first have yourself in good order. That word take heed, more often than not in the New Testament, refers to that which is negative or sinful. It's always in connection with negative things. So that really the idea is this: guard yourself. Put the fence up around yourself. Guard yourself from sin and from those things that would make you unworthy, unqualified to labor in the church. The Lord Jesus Christ used that same word and that same idea in Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of your life. And so that day come upon you unawares. That's the first step. You take heed to yourselves. But it's not only just for the office bearers. It's worth making that point as well. This isn't something special that office bearers do. This is what we all do as members of the church. All of us must take heed to ourselves. All of us must guard ourselves from the sin of this world. But the point is this: office bearers can't help the church unless they first take heed to themselves. And then they take heed to the flock. They guard and protect the flock. And we'll get to that in a moment when we see what it means to feed and shepherd the flock. But take note just in this connection of what the Apostle Paul says regarding this. Take heed unto yourselves. And he doesn't simply say, and to the flock, but he says, and to all the flock. That's worth mentioning. Office bearers care for every single member of the church. From the youngest child to the oldest saint and everyone in between, those are the ones the office bearers take heed of. And so office bearers live among the people, know the people, know the congregation, so that you can do what the apostle says here. In knowing all of the church, then you can take heed to them and care for them. How do you do that? Elders, you care and you shepherd Trinity Protestant Reformed Church by protecting this congregation from the enemies of false doctrine. You listen to the sermons carefully for your own spiritual edification, but you listen to the sermons carefully so that you make sure the one who stands behind this pulpit preaches the truth, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its fullness and in all its clarity. You make sure that in the catechism room, no false teaching is imparted to the children in their impressionable years. You protect this flock from the enemy of false doctrine. Elders, you protect and you shepherd Trinity Protestant Reformed Church by protecting us from the enemies of unholy living. We are the called out ones. The office bearers, more than anyone else, must understand what that means in the way we live our lives, in the way we must live our lives. Be an example, but also in your instruction, may it all be aimed towards this, that we as a congregation, all of us, young to old, live worthy lives as members of the Church of God. You shepherd, you care for Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, this congregation, by strengthening them and feeding them and nourishing them. It's a major part of the work of a shepherd. And never forget that. In all of the work that we do, every visit we make, family visit, sick visit, discipline visit, you name it, it doesn't matter what it is. Nourish, feed, strengthen with the Word of God. And you shepherd and you care for this congregation by working hard with the stubborn sheep. It's the way we are sometimes. We're sinners. We're stubborn. And that's when it becomes very, very hard at times to do the work. But be diligent. Give yourselves to break the stubborn hearts of sin so that all of the flock lives worthy of God in His kingdom. And when you shepherd the flock in that way, God will bless that work. God will bless that work only when it is done in love. Remember the first part of the sermon. You work in the church purchased by God. Love this flock. Love this flock with the love of Jesus Christ. Love this flock so that you will do anything to shepherd it and to care for it. It will be hard at times. Give yourself to the work. And God will bless this work also, only when it is done in love and only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You labor as representatives of Jesus Christ. And that's why God will bless this work. Because it is Christ that works through you. It is Christ, only Christ, that can do that work. You can't feed. You can't break a stubborn heart. You can't protect. But Christ can. And Christ will through your work. But we're still sinners. And so we can wonder, is it even possible? How will we do this? And that's why we end by looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul makes that clear in the text, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This means that you didn't do anything to put yourself in the office. You may have coveted the office, a good thing to do, but in the end you couldn't put yourself in that office. It was the Holy Spirit that did that. It was the Holy Spirit that did that through this church, through the meeting of that consistory room, when we nominated elders and deacons. And then the Holy Spirit was in this sanctuary the night that the confessing members gathered, male members gathered to elect the office bearers. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in putting you in the office. And you may look at the work, as every office bearer does, and say, it's hard. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. Will I say the right thing? Will I do the right thing? Will I make the right decision? Then you remember this, and never forget this. The Holy Spirit that calls you into the office is the Holy Spirit that will qualify you to do the work. He will give strength where strength is needed. Because we are the church that God loves, the flock that God purchased with His own blood. He will keep us. He loves us. He will do that through the work of these men. Beloved, we as a congregation have heard from God's Word the calling of these men placed into office. We give thanks to God this morning. We give thanks to God for the qualified men that will serve in our midst. And now the calling that we have is to pray for them. Pray diligently for the office bearers of our congregation. Pray that they would carry out their work faithfully. Faithfully, so that we are a people cared for by these men. But the calling that we have also as a congregation now is to submit to them. They are our overseers, the elders in particular. They rule over us. Now we submit to them. We receive them. Because they are representatives of Christ. And in submitting to these office bearers, in the end, we are submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Fitting words these were for the Apostle Paul and those Ephesian elders, those saints that he loved so dearly. Fitting words these are for these office bearers and the other office bearers as they continue to shepherd and to care for us as a flock. Here at Trinity Protestant Reformed Church. May God so bless your work, men, that you would labor faithfully in our midst. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we pray for these office bearers once again, that they may feed this thy church, the church that thou dost love, the church that thou didst purchase with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen.